project might be in the works.
It is in the works.
It is in the works.
Yeah.
Ah, exclusive, baby. Okay, so what kind of project do you have? What kind of music genre are you going into? And have you been recording songs already?
For genre, it will be more like soft pop, pop rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have recorded some songs.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Welcome you and all to another episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast, where we talk about, say with me, Latino everything. Thank you very much for being here on another amazing episode. If you are liking what we are putting out, content, stories, please go ahead and subscribe right now. It's very important. It's for free, unless you're paying subscription, and I don't know what you're doing. So that's on you. That's on you. There's nothing new with us. So yeah, go ahead and subscribe. Today we have an amazing episode because we have a very young professional that's been doing her thing for some time, and she has an amazing story to tell. We have a realtor agent that works out of the DFW area for on-demand realty. And again, the way that I met her is very interesting. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. Melissa Ornelas, you can find her on social media at Real with Mel. Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Ay, excelente. Gracias a Dios. ¿Y usted?
Excelente. Gracias. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. So real quick, brief story. I know we talked about it. So I was out and about. I had an accident. I have no car. I call an Uber. Your dad, I don't know if he does it on the side, he picked me up and we started talking about it. He was telling me about, you know, maybe I can get him on the podcast. And he said, you know, you got to talk to my daughter and my daughter. And just, I'm like, okay, cool. That was a year ago.
Yeah.
Fast forward. Now we connected. And I didn't realize how amazing your story is,
yeah,
as being so young and that you are, the things that you already accomplished and already done. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. I feel very grateful to be here.
Absolutely. Okay. So we're going to start with a segment that I like to call Preguntas al Chile. If you have seen the segment,
Preguntas al Chile,
I've seen other people do it. We started it about 3 years ago or so, you know what I mean? And we keep switching it up so y'all don't copy. Because if y'all do, please let us know. What's up? Lista?
Lista.
¿Estás lista? ¿Tacos o tortas?
Tacos.
¿Corn tortilla o flour tortilla?
Corn all the way.
¿Gorditas o pupusas?
Pupusas.
All the way.
También.
También. What is your favorite place here in the DFW area for pupusas, in your opinion?
Ooh. Off of Arapaho, A75, se llama Sabor Salvadoreño.
Yeah. Has the best, to your opinion, your palate, the best pupusas, yes, in the DFW.
Yes.
Very, Carlos, you need
very
to try
delicious.
It out.
Delicious. Good service, good food. Las mejores pupusas.
Órale. Free plug in. Okay. Plátanos con crema y frijoles or pastelitos de pollo.
Plátanos con crema.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you in a pickle here. ¿Tamales de pollo salvadoreños or tamales mexicanos?
Ay, tamales mexicanos.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to get in trouble with that
one. I know, sorry.
What is it? Okay, because they're both, again.
Both
great. But what is it about the particular Mexicano tamale you like more?
I just love the... I grew up more on the eating more tamales mexicanos. So yeah. I just like, my palate just accepts that. It's like, I can eat more of those.
¿Verdes o rojos?
Los dos.
¿Los dos?
Yeah, los dos.
One of each.
Una docena.
Right? Okay. Mexican coca o jarrito?
Jarrito.
¿De qué sabor? What flavor?
De naranja.
Naranja. Okay. Agua de horchata, jamaica, tamarindo.
Jamaica.
Yeah. Salsa verde, salsa roja.
Salsa verde.
Salsa verde. Yeah, team salsa verde. Verde. Churros o flan.
Flan.
Nice. Valentina, Tapatío, Cholula or Tabasco hot sauce.
Valentina.
And conchitas, the pastries, the pink ones, the white ones, or the brown ones.
The white one.
The white ones?
Yeah.
Nice. You're the first one, I think, in a long time to pick the white ones. It's usually the pinks or chocolate.
Chocolate. I like the white ones.
Like the OGs or Cheetahs. This is way different than any other ones. It's got to do with the food. But we like to entertain just for entertainment purposes. A good conspiracy. A conspiracy theory that you heard one time from somebody, either social media or somebody told you that when you heard it, you're like, that's got to be true. It's a strong possibility that could be true. What would that be?
A conspiracy theory?
Yes.
Any conspiracy theory?
Any of them that you heard and you'd be like, that could be real. That could be a real thing.
Like something that has happened and it's, okay. So there's a cave in my pueblo in Mexico that they say if you go there, well, there's gold there apparently, that if you go there, you never come out.
In Jalisco. Wow.
So I told my family, like, let's grab hands and try to just go in there. But they're too scared. Like, apparently no one ever has come out. Once they go in, you don't come out.
Speaking of conspiracy, what if it's a portal? Supposedly there's portals all over the world.
Ooh.
Bermuda Triangle apparently is one, other places. Mm-hmm. So what if it's something like that?
I don't know.
So they say there's ghosts too?
No.
No?
I don't believe in ghosts.
You don't believe in? I believe in ghosts.
I don't believe in ghosts. I do believe in spirits, but not ghosts. Not like haunting not like, ghosts. Like boo.
Okay. I get it. So what if this spirit were some kind of type of ghost? You know, different variation of a spirit.
Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't put the word ghost in there. I wouldn't do that.
Why does it?
There's like that stigma with the word ghosts. Like,
you think of evil and bad and stuff like that, right?
Or they're out to do something. But I do feel like spirit's something more that you feel the energy, but not that they're in act of doing something.
Got you. Okay. So when you hear the word Latino, Latina, or Latinx, what is the first thing that comes to mind for you?
My community.
Your community?
Yes.
Awesome. Do you consider yourself Latina? Do you mind if anybody calls you Latina? Do you prefer Salvadorian, Mexicana, both, human?
I'm not here to criticize on someone to tell me like, oh, I'm not here to say, oh, you're wrong. I'm not only Mexican. I'm not only Salvadorian. I'm both. Yes, but I'm proud of being both. Mm-hmm. So if they just acknowledge me or just say, oh, she's Mexican, I will also, I'm Salvadorian too, but nothing in a way of like, you are wrong. So I'm proud of being both. I'm proud of being Latina.
Yeah. What is the term of endearment that you use for somebody that's Salvadoran and Mexican? Is there a word? Salva Mexi or Mexi Salva?
I don't know one. I don't know one. I just like Salvi.
Salvi?
Salvi Mexican.
Salvi Mexican.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Shout out to my Salvadoreños. Yeah. Much love to ya. Yas food. Yas. I was telling her, I was watching the video on my way over here, how you have like, I know so little about a lot of the countries in Latin America, the Caribbeans, but whenever I have a guest that's from another place, it doesn't forcibly do it, but it makes me want to go ahead and tap into what's going on.
Yes.
So it turns out Salvador has, which you have Salvadorian, have Mexican, has 100 something volcanoes, 20 something are active. They have waterfalls, they have amazing lakes, they have some of the best surfing waves in the world.
Yes. Yeah.
And right now they're doing a whole lot better as far as the whole country because of the new president that is cleaning up. It's been cleaning up for years and, you know, it's becoming a place to go check out because it's beautiful.
Yes.
Have you ever been?
Yes. I recently went in January.
Awesome.
And I tried surfing because they had the surf tournament over there.
Yeah.
And it is, the waves are way stronger than what you could think. I took the surfboard out there and then I reconsidered going out there because of how strong the waves are. Some surfers out there were actually in the waves and they looked phenomenal. It looked like a movie.
Do you know how to surf though?
I don't. No.
You gave it a go.
I tried. I mean, I wanted to put myself out there.
You know how to swim? Like,
yeah,
strong
I could
swimmer?
Swim, but the waves are so strong, you can't really swim in those waves. It's beautiful out there. Right now, there's a lot of tourism, so they're really trying to encourage more tourists to go and visit and get to know El Salvador, get to know who we are, get to know our food, our culture, the beauty of El Salvador. The crime rate has gone down. They're no longer in the top 18 of crimes in the states.
Yeah.
And they've really improved and cleaned up their El Salvador. So anybody who's considering it, I highly recommend it. It's beautiful. It's tropical where I was at. It's, you can get a little mixture of both. We have the mountains, we have the ocean, we have the city. So it's a mixture of everything. And it's just somewhere that everyone needs to go visit.
What area were you in?
Well, I went to San Salvador, and then I went to La Libertad, which is where I had family living. Mm-hmm. So I was over there where El Tunco is.
Yeah.
It's like very, very famous place for surfing. So when I went there, I actually heard more English and Spanish.
Really?
Yes. I met people from Australia.
Wow.
Like people that were visiting just because they've heard El Salvador was beautiful.
Yeah.
And they've just been traveling, trying to find new places around the world. And everyone's going there from all different countries.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's amazing. Because again, if it wasn't because you were going to be here and try to educate myself more on the country, I wouldn't realize how freaking beautiful it is too. Shout out to Bolivia too, because I didn't know how good and beautiful they were. But man, Salvador has got his own little hidden treasures, amazing scenery. The people, I think we were talking about it before we started recording that I think maybe it was more of like people are so friendly, right? But I think they're always like that. It's just because of the way that it was before with crime and everything. You always have to be on the defense, have to be cautious and have to be maybe even live in fear. It doesn't make you want to show how nice or how amazing, how caring you are, because you always have to be guarded because you don't ever know what's going to happen.
Yes. No, yes. And that's something that over time, they're going to have to overcome. We all will overcome.
Yeah.
I mean, 30 years ago, they thought that it was going to be cleaned up. And so they thought it was going to be new change in the late 90s. And then it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So they had false hope. So now there's a bunch of Salvadorans who were fearful. They still had false hope. Like, is this really going to happen? But it is happening.
Yeah.
The last 5 years have changed so much for El Salvador.
And the president, Nayib Bukele, he's doing an amazing job, and with a 94, you said, of
high 90s. Yeah, he's like
the voting on the last election is kind of hard to deny that the man is popular there, and you know,
loved, very admired. A lot of women, they're like, that's my boyfriend, that's my husband, just because they look up to him so much that they've made such a difference for their families.
Yeah.
And when I was out there, I met so many families that they just told me stories of their past. I mean, they still live there, but the fact that now they have an opportunity to start a business without having fear of the crime.
Somebody shaking them down for some money. So, you know,
or the food
or everything.
So now they're like, no, we're going to make, you know, and there's just there's so much optimism and hope, and they're a country of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Very faith driven, and so they put God
Salvador
first,
which is the savior translation.
Yes.
So
it's I mean, they put God first, and that's something that I do believe that they're on the right path.
That's cool. So you sensed that, all that, when you were there walking around, all that hope, all the optimism and everything.
Yes. I walked around by myself.
Yeah.
No one to be my bodyguard. I was like, let me get to know who these people are. And I introduced myself to random people. I rode a horse. I wanted to get to know the community and see who lives here. What do they do? What brings them joy? You know, how do they talk to people? And so I just put myself out there. I had no fear. I met a little boy who, you know, it was his birthday, selling bracelets. Right?
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like, there's just times where it's like, I'm at the right place at the right time. And I was there at the right time.
What was the common factor of things that everybody touched up on whenever you were talking to them? What was the thing that kept coming up? Like, whether it would be hope, whether it would be anything, just in conversation with them, they just kept coming up over and over and over. What would that be?
Well, I just felt so much gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
So much gratitude from every single person I met. They felt so grateful to have had a conversation just with one another. Each one of us, it's memorable. Having even small moments, they can be moments you remember forever.
Yeah, that's dope. All right, so let's start with a little bit of who you are.
Yeah.
So you're half Salvadorian, half Mexican. Have your Mexican father ever told you how is it that he got to the States by any chance?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can change what you taste by what you hear? How can you use sound to make a deeper connection with your clients? Can we be healed with sound? Sound influences people in their buying decisions and their daily lives. In the podcast Audio Branding, I explore all of this, both with my own observations as a voice actor of over 15 years and by interviewing knowledgeable professionals in the field of advertising, marketing, music, and science. To have a listen for yourself, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com.
Oof, yes, well, I couldn't remember right now at the top of my head how he did, but mm-hmm. I do know he came when he was around like 12, 13.
From Jalisco.
From Jalisco.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And he came very young and started very making young. His American dream happen to him.
Yes.
And he started getting to where I believe he's also into real estate or doing things. What about your mom from El Salvador? How was her journey over here?
Was really tough.
Really?
Really tough to get over here. She was also very young and coming here to look to have an opportunity for a good education, for a better future. And
somebody from El Salvador that has to cross many borders to get here, did she ever tell you a little bit more in detail how was her journey over?
Yeah.
Can you, not to get too personal, can you share a little bit of the things that she had to go through, the struggles?
Well, first off, I mean, everybody's trying to get in at the same time.
Right.
So the fact that there's, let's say, 50 people in a 10 by 10, you're crammed with each other and you're all like, you're not even thinking of the fact that you have strangers surrounded by you as a little child.
Right.
But that's something that they were all there for the same mission, for a better future. So that's part of her journey to get here, being surrounded by strangers as a little girl to get here and not knowing if she wasn't to make it, but really praying and hoping that she was. And it wasn't easy at all. It took her a long time, and it was scary. It was frightening for her, and it's something I know that she carries with her.
Yeah. How old was she when she got here?
She was 14.
14 years old. And did she come herself or were family with
herself.
Her too? By herself.
Mm-hmm.
Did she ever tell you why she wanted to make the journey? Was it, of course, you're always looking for a better life, American dream that gets sold to us, but why did she decide to make the journey over being so young?
Her mom came first. Mm. Her mom was already here.
Okay.
So yeah, she was raised by her grandma.
Mm.
And so she came to because my grandma, her mom came first to be able to get a home first here.
Yeah.
So when she got here, she would have somewhere safe to be.
Yeah.
And that's how she was able to actually have a home when she got here.
So was it here in the Dallas area where they landed at?
No, California.
California.
Mm-hmm.
And you were born?
California.
You were born in California.
Yes.
What area specifically?
In Van Nuys.
What is it?
Van Nuys.
Van Nuys.
Yes.
And what is it? South Cal? North Cal?
It's Central? Called the Valley.
Ah, the Valley. So you were south.
Yeah.
Close to Mexico.
No, not so much. Not so much. Not so.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So from California.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you moved to Texas? How old were you?
Oh, gosh. My little valley. When you asked me, I was like, yeah. Because that's the valley, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But valley girls.
They got a valley like, Texas, too.
Well, we have valley girls from California.
Oh,
say totally. Like, totally,
yeah,
like, yeah.
Yeah.
But
totally.
Yeah, they say totally a lot. But we say totally. And I moved to Texas when I was turning five.
You were turning five
years
old.
Yes.
Wow. Do you remember any of that?
Moving here? No. I remember the first time I had Chick-fil-A here, moving here, it was a great experience. I really love Texas. I mean, those my core memories started here in Texas.
Yeah.
But I do have some memories from my childhood in California. But I will say Texas has been my home since growing up.
Got the boots on too, by the way, representing.
Yeah, I got boots.
Shout out to South Cal girls and the Valley girls. But
yeah.
Y'all lost a great one.
Uh-huh.
Just kidding. So did it ever dawn on you that you were growing up with different cultures? You had the Mexican and Salvadorian cultures at all whatsoever? Or when did it come to mind at all that you were like, not necessarily different, but you actually had two cultures growing up, and maybe one of these days you realize, oh my God, I'm Mexican and I'm Salvadorian. Anything that ever happened to you like that?
Yeah. And I actually do think it happened recently.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. It was because growing up, I was like, I'm Hispanic. Like, that's all I knew. I was like, I'm Hispanic. I speak Spanish. Like, and I grew up in a city called Plano, right? So over there, there's cliques, there's cliques in schools and all of that. And I just, I couldn't find like my right place to fit in. Mm-hmm. But all I wanted to do was be around like the kids or people who we had like similar interests in, like with nature, with exploring outside. Yeah. I didn't really hang out with, you know, my Spanish speaking friends as much when I was younger.
Really?
And that's something I wish I did, because I know, and I felt that when I was younger too. I was like, I wish I had more Spanish speaking friends.
Mm.
I wish I did. And I didn't. Where I grew up in my area, nobody spoke Spanish. So later on down the line, I actually put effort to make more friends and embrace being Latina. And that was like more in high school. And now that I'm in my 20s, I've met so many more people
mm-hmm.
that, and so much experience in what's going on with El Salvador.
Right.
There's so much orgullo, pride in being Salvadoran right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And that's something that now I feel, and I've met so many people and I've experienced it, and going to El Salvador, I do feel like there's a difference, because I visited Mexico so much growing up. I mm-hmm. didn't visit El Salvador so mm-hmm. much. But now I feel like there's a part of me that I never got to see and get to acknowledge growing up, right. which is a Salvadoran side,
right.
because of how the crime was and everything. But now it's something that I still constantly educating myself on and want to continue to know more about that side of myself.
Do you think there was kind of like a negative stigma towards the Salvadoran people at that time because of everything that you kept hearing, you know, gangs, whatever the case might be, even though it wasn't in El Salvador, it was here, but still kind of like negative talk about the people from El Salvador slightly mm-hmm. because of all the things that they saw on the news or whatever the case might be?
Yeah. And yes. And depending where you go, you know, there's different type of mindsets on El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can meet a whole group of families that are so proud of being Salvadoran, and then you can meet another that aren't. So it's just like you know, and you come from, depending on your environment, and like for mine, my mother had a bad, like her journey here was really difficult for her. So remembering El Salvador was difficult for her. So that wasn't something that she was like, let me share with you about my experience.
Yeah, wow.
Compared to my father constantly taking me, you know, every year growing up. And I loved it. I love the mountains in Mexico, and it's family. I mean, my mother's only child, and my dad's mm-hmm. one of 11.
Wow.
So there's like a whole completely different background and what to share on your experiences from where they come from.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, imagine like having to leave everything behind. And I mean, and it's just things that happen in life, right? Because you want to, but at the same time, when you come with something that just wasn't that nice to express it and carry it on to your child, maybe it's not the easiest thing to say, because your experience wasn't the best ever,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't define the fact that now Salvador is doing amazing and people are being proud to be from El Salvador, Salvadoreños.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. Okay. So you had something happen to you that I want to share a little bit. So you had a little bit of an accident. You were in high school, getting ready to graduate. You had a senior trip. You had a little bit of an accident.
Yeah.
And I'm only talking about it because you have a story on IG of how you became, how you got into real estate, right?
Yeah.
So you got into an accident. You had a knee, and unfortunately you had to get surgery on it.
Yeah.
So you were, I don't know if you were bedridden, but both of your knees were not, you had a needless. I'm sorry. I just had to.
Funny joke.
And, issues with your knees. And then, so as you were recovering, you started studying on your licensing as
correct.
Far as your real estate license, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Take me back a little bit to that journey, how it happened, the story, and who brought up the subject of becoming a realtor.
Okay, so it's the year 2020. I'm about to graduate high school, and we ended up not having graduation. So my friends and I were like, let's still at least plan an outdoor trip where we can still be able to do something and
right.
enjoy our graduation to celebrate ourselves. We've mm-hmm. worked really hard. So we plan a trip to go hiking in Oklahoma, and it's just a group of us. I actually drove. Like three of my friends, and then my other,
nice.
It was like two cars. We took mm-hmm. two cars. So I had three friends with me, drove us there. The first day that we're there, I jump off a rock while we're hiking, and then I I land on the ground. I couldn't get up anymore. It was like my whole entire knee just completely swelled up.
Ouch.
I'm limping. And that was the end of my trip, really. Everyone else got to go hiking, but I didn't. And later on, I drove us back home still mm-hmm. with my knee like that.
Ouch.
Yeah. And long story. Thank God we got home safe. But we did get home safe. And I was just pushing through. I didn't want to have to go to the doctor. I'm like, this is going to pass. It's nothing. It's not going to affect me. I didn't want it to be reality that I was going to be extremely injured.
Mm-hmm.
So I rested, hoping that it would go away. It didn't go away. So I went to the doctor like 4 weeks later in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, Melissa, you have torn your ACL.
Ouch.
Your meniscus is extremely damaged.
Ouch.
And you should be crying right now. Everyone that's come in here that has had the same situation as you has been bawling their eyes out. So you're a warrior. And that's true. And I felt that. And I was like, okay, that kind of made me feel better that I wasn't crying. So I'm like, yeah, I am tougher than what I thought too. So I ended up having my surgery 2 weeks later. And that recovery was 6 weeks. So once I had that surgery,
mm-hmm.
I had to stay in Mexico, have my physical therapy. And I was in bed. I was in bed in crutches. I did use a wheelchair for a bit for like the first few days.
Was that the time that they transferred one of the things from one knee to the other at the same time? Or that was a different
That
time?
Was the second surgery.
Like second surgery.
So the first surgery was just one knee.
Mm-hmm.
The second surgery a year later was double knees.
Double knees.
Yes. And so the first time I was all I mean, I had those 6 weeks to be able to study online. I'm very passionate about educating myself as much as possible mm-hmm. and constantly learning.
Right.
So in Mexico, my father was there and we do have family who's in real estate. So he's like, well, you know what? Why don't you consider starting your real estate courses online? You have some time. It's online. So I was like, okay, you know what? I want to educate myself. I want to help people
mm-hmm.
and let's go for it.
Right.
So I started, and by the time it was like I was able to come back to the US, I was able to pass my exams, get my fingerprints.
Just like that.
Just like that. No, it sounds simple, but I was thankful that I was able to have that time, you know, to be able to focus so much on my courses and pass. And so by the time I got back, I signed up with RE/MAX. Yeah.
So did you have any jobs prior to that at all whatsoever? Were you ever worked at anywhere else besides that?
Or yes.
Was that your first job?
No, I did. I did work. I started at 15. I worked at a restaurant. And then after that, I did a side business. So after school, after high school,
mm-hmm.
after hours, I would do eyelashes on my friends and on my teachers.
Really?
So I had a little side. Yeah, I had a little entrepreneur
spirit from the beginning.
Yes. And wow. I would have like back to back to back clients.
Are you serious?
I was like, I was pretty, I'm efficient with
you
my
had
time.
To be good. Otherwise, they yes. wouldn't have back to back clients.
Yes.
Yeah, that would jacked up looking like, I don't know what, the party yeah. wouldn't come to you.
Yes.
So that lasted for some time. And then after yes. that, you just, that's when you,
yeah.
senior came?
I did that. And then I was a sales manager at Aldo, the shoe store.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that was at like 17. So 17, 18, I was yeah. like a manager.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Very driven.
Yes.
Okay, so you... Thank you so much for being here today and checking out this amazing episode. Make sure you go and subscribe to the channel. And leave a comment and a like. And now back to the episode. Tell me a little bit about the situation with 2020. You're one of the first ones that I know that, unfortunately, with the COVID, your graduation experience got taken away. Do you feel like slightly you were robbed, or was there any kind of blessing in disguise that had to happen to you? You eventually graduated, right? But not like everybody else did.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I definitely feel like it was, there's a balance between the experiences that were taken that I wasn't able to have and share with others.
Right.
But I also do know there's a blessing behind everything. So in the robbed part, I do feel like there was moments where I wasn't able to say my goodbyes or say my farewells to my friends that, you know, we may never see each other again. And we didn't even have the choice to say goodbye.
Right.
Right. So there's people that that are in our lives where we could have had still an opportunity to become closer than we were before.
Right.
And there's just, that's what I do feel like I was robbed on, which is the time that we could have shared. But the blessings, I do know that there's some people who maybe wouldn't have graduated or wouldn't have been able to start their journey if they didn't have the opportunity to graduate that year or have that hope there. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And then you did say they did get to do something for you all to not necessarily walk, but kind of sort of compensate for that. Can you tell me about that part?
Yes. So they emailed us and said, what time slot works best for you and your family? And it was like a 5-minute time slot to walk the stage. So they had a group of like 20 students, I don't even think it was 20. I think it was like 5-10 students and their families. But it felt like a lot because it was like the COVID time. We're all wearing masks. And we walked the stage and my family was behind me in a little box. And they said my name. I walked the stage and that was it. Recorded like 10 seconds. Melissa Ornelas walks the stage onto the next. Next person, next appointment.
Next appointment. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you graduate, you get your license, you're done. And then, of course, you get your first job, Remax, and you start working. How was it for the first year for you as far as just figuring it out? The one thing is getting your license, but the other is getting out there on the road, showing houses, setting up appointments, whatever the case might be. You still kind of started learning on the job.
Yes.
But still, how does that go for you in the first year?
Yeah, my first year was tough.
Yeah.
My first year was definitely like all the time. People were questioning my age. They were just like, they just saw me as like a young girl who wasn't super sure on her real estate.
Do you look really young at that time still? How old were you when you first started with them?
18. I was 18.
And you look very young?
Yeah. I mean, I also think it's about knowing your education. It wasn't really until I helped family my first few months. But then like on the 7th month, I finally got my first deal. It was like $700,000. So that was a great deal. But it was a referral from another state, out of state client. And that really, that helped me build my confidence a lot because I put in a lot of effort to be able to help that family and find their home.
Okay. And, yeah. So you start with family first.
Yeah.
Is that how it goes, just to make sure you get it going? Is the family okay with that?
Yeah. And well, family was like, they were supportive of it. They were like, well, at least we have someone that we trust already that's in the business. So at first it was, you know, kind of getting the reins on the horse, right? So I'm educating myself. I got my GRI license, which is a graduate real estate institution. Mm-hmm. I did so many hours of education, but it's also about that confidence, that self-confidence that I feel like I've gained over time through being in the business and just growing as a woman. And that my first year was more of like, hey, okay, this is, I'm figuring out what I'm doing and I'm here and my heart is pure and I know what I'm doing. But it was still like the lack of confidence at that time, my first year. Yeah.
Well, mostly the experience, I would guess, right? Because you kind of sort of, I heard, was it a clip of confidence is like Latin for with faith. So having faith still leading you because you know that you passed the test. You know that you have this. You don't know, but your heart is pure. Like you said, I like that so much that you want to help people the right way. You don't want to just put them whatever and, you know, just keep pushing. But the first deal that you get, $700,000, how did they find you? How did they know about you? You said it was a referral?
Yes.
Of who?
A Remax agent from Colorado who is relocating and trying to find a house with land. And my broker was like, let me help you. I'm going to set you up with this client and you go ahead. I drove like 2,000 miles for that client.
You did?
Yes.
What area?
Everywhere. We drove through Mineral Wells.
So you showed different properties. That's what you were talking about, different stops.
Yes.
They found one.
Yeah. We drove. They were somewhere 45 to 2 hours away from each other. And we started at 9 a.m. We didn't finish until it was dark.
So, multiple days?
Yes, 2 weeks consecutively.
2 weeks consecutively?
Consecutively. Jeez, every single day. Yes.
Yeah.
And we just drove. And I negotiated a good deal for them. They ended up getting 32 acres in a beautiful house.
That's a lot. That's quite and a bit of land.
I'm still in contact with them. And that's they're cool. still, like, I feel very, like, we still feel very connected.
So, finally, you're driving them. What is it? Can you sense when you look at them that this is the one?
Yes.
This is the house? You saw their eyes?
Yes.
Like a little sprinkle?
Well, it's not only that, but it's also the... I mean, it's a lot of storytelling, you know, yeah. so that you can hear their lifestyle being spoken onto the home. They're like, well, we can go kayaking here. Oh, we can have our family reunions here. We can do this activity here. Well, oh, our kids are going to be, I'm going to call my kids from downstairs over here. Like, that's where you can feel that instead of just talking characteristics on the house. They're talking on what they will be doing in the house already.
And like, you already know
they
it's
visualize
sold.
Themselves.
So whenever they start doing that, you already know it's sold.
Yeah.
Because whenever you're showing them another one, it's like, no, they can't talk to us from the balcony. No, we can't do that. Not this. Yeah. You already know. Like, nope. Let's go. Let's wrap it up.
And sometimes I know before they do that it's
really?
Like, yeah.
Because you can hear it.
I can feel it. I just like, because once you already like, they've already told you or you've already seen maybe like a few houses and they tell you, okay, well, you know what? I really need this. This is so important to me. Or I don't need this. I'm like, okay, they really want to see this house, but there's something I don't feel like that's the one for them.
Yeah.
And then the moment we walk the house at the end, they're like, no, Melissa, like that, like the house, it looked good in the pictures, but it's not for me. Like, I don't say I told you so, but in my head, I'm like, I knew, but I'm giving them the opportunity because if they want to see it and that's, they feel like this might be the one, let's go.
Yeah, that's true too. Okay, so get to the closing table. You work out a good deal. Get to the closing table. They signed, and it's all done. A lot of the agents that I know nowadays prepare like packages and stuff like that. What did you have in mind to prepare? Because I know you probably had that even before you had your first deal. You had thought about this is what I'm going to do for my client once they're done.
Yes, I'm like I love to give gifts. I really do. So I create baskets for my clients and. Just kind of hearing on what they like, what if they like a certain drink, or if they do baking, or just if it's a new house, new couple, new home, some necessities. So I really do go all out on my gift basket.
I like the fact that you are active listening to where, even though they're just sharing stories and like that sharing story part, but also like, do they like to bake? Do they like carpentry? Whatever the case may be, you already got it. And the gift, I'm guessing it's more special because it's more customized to the things that they like.
Yes.
So whenever they get to see it, they'll be like, oh my God, this is exactly what I need.
Yes. Yes. And I've also done where if I have a closing like at lunchtime, I'll bring lunch to closing. So I'll bring like some pizzas or that way we'll eat while they're signing. So it's more relaxed because it can be a big deal, a big transaction, right?
It's the biggest purchase, one of the biggest purchases in your life.
So you can't do that empty stomach.
Yeah. Get some tacos, some pizza, tacos, whatever you want. That's pretty cool. Yeah. All right, so you get the hang of it the first, not all the way, but you're more, people are referring you now. They're looking for you. And then how long do you stay with RE/MAX for?
I was there on 3 years.
Yeah. What was the biggest lesson that you took away from being there? And of course, learning, but what else?
Loyalty.
Yeah.
Loyalty, law, treating your clients to the best of your abilities. It's not about yourself. It is always about the client. It is always putting that client first and following the laws. You never, ever, ever want to break any rules to protect them and yourself.
Yeah.
And staying loyal to your client. That's one thing I've learned where I was at. It was very family oriented. I'm family oriented. So it was really beautiful to meet other people who put their family first. I do feel like that's a really important factor.
Yeah. So you decide to go to On Demand Realty?
Yes.
Shortly after?
Yeah.
What was it that, you know, brought you there? What did you see? What did you kind of sort of, I know you listen a lot. I'm sure you do some research. What brought you wanted to be part of that, part of On Demand?
Joining On Demand was to find a place for me to grow to the next level, for me to be able to excel and to meet other hungry agents as well, to be a part of not only a brokerage who has been around for so long and so established, which helped me gain clients being a part of an established company, but at this point, I've already have had my clients. I'm getting referrals. I'm meeting a lot of people through online, mm-hmm. through my experience. On demand is very tech savvy. They're very on demand. We're known as being realtors who are actually going to be answering your texts the same day. Like, not, we're not going to respond to you the next day. We're going to respond to you when we're on our phone. I see your text. I'm going to get to you. And just a really good social media marketing that they have, very good support, accountability. It's very young, high energy, very high energy brokerage.
Yeah. So you felt for you, I know Remax was great and everything, yes. but you felt maybe you were a little bit capped and you wanted to keep spanning your wings and go somewhere where they might be able to push you there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
How did you find them? Did they find you?
So I was actually recommended. Some people, other agents told me, hey, check them out. They're really good. They look like they're blowing up. And I have a friend who she's actually a part of On Demand already.
Oh, nice.
So I spoke with her personally and she told me that this has been the best experience for her. And I truthfully, it's been a really great experience since. Yeah. So, yeah.
How long you been with them so far?
About 2 months.
2 months?
Yeah.
So even though you've been there a very short time, you already seen everything they got going on so far. The biggest thing that you have taken away that is just like, yes, this is where I need to be right now.
I love the accountability. I love how there's just constant communication between us. We have group chats between us. If there's any question I have, I mean, my broker's always there to answer. If not, we have a group chat between all 150 agents. Mm. Imagine that. So if I ask a question about, is there any land appraisers nearby? I'll get like 10 messages that same day about different people they recommend. So it's more of a personal connection on referrals of who we can connect with, get some quotes on, and people we know that are like us that work the same way.
So you network as far as within the team of On Demand is a whole lot more.
More involved. We're actually online.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That's great. That's great. Yeah. Because you don't like to send a text and 2 days later, 3 days later, or email and you just don't get no reply from nobody, you know, just, that could slow you down or that could really be the deciding factor of somebody that is looking for a home that has another agent. Because sometimes, you know, customers will shop, but the other one moves faster than you. And, you know, there goes that deal.
I've been getting a lot of those recently. There's a lot of agents right now who aren't answering their clients' texts. So they're coming to me now. They're like, and they give them the ultimatum. Hey, if you don't text me back or call me back, I have to move on. Okay. And they move on.
So y'all really good at getting on being on top of the clients whenever they communicate, because you know that not that you like jump high, but it's more like, you really want to cater to the client's needs to make sure that they are taken care of. Make sure, this, like as we talked earlier, one of the biggest purchases they're going to make in their life. They're going to be curious. They're going to have questions. They're always going to be. And then it's great that they can rely on you to be able to, I don't know where your hours are, but it's cool that you can text them within a short amount of time. Yes. You'll be able to give them an answer, be able to give them a phone call. Let me get with you real quick. I'll be right back.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's one of the biggest investments. And if you don't have someone I feel like it's really important if you have 1,000 questions, you need to get as many questions answered as possible. You don't want to be moving forward with anything if you doubt something. So you want to help them understand the process as much as possible when they're purchasing or selling their home. That way they know what it's going to look like.
Okay. So for you, I know we asked this before from a different realtor, shout out to Kristen Contreras. However, for you, I know it's kind of sort of dissimilar, but what is your approach as far as anybody looking for a home? What are some of the first steps that you get to do with them? The first few minutes of the conversation, as far as guiding them through the purchasing of a home. Let's say the first time buyer.
Absolutely. So I always want to know exactly what their idea is on what they want to purchase. I want to know a little bit more about who they are and what their goals are in their home buying journey. And then once I hear that, I get some background of their goals, who they are. I direct them to a list of my preferred lenders, or if they have a lender, we are going to work hand in hand to make sure that they get ready for their pre-approval.
Okay. So you're looking for that golden ticket that Kristen told me about. That's the golden ticket to start looking into homes, because otherwise you're wasting their time. and they're wasting not necessarily your time, but kind of it is a waste of time because you're not going to go anywhere if you don't really know that you will be are able to within your budget able to go and start shopping and looking at homes.
And I say and I tell my clients, hey, we're going to find your home. And if we don't have that pre-approval, it can't be yours. We can't make it yours. We can't put an offer without that pre-approval.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be a complete offer without that pre-approval. So let's work on it. So that way, when we find your home, you're ready. You can make it yours.
So on demand for where you're at, let's say somebody's not there yet. They go and they're not pre-approved. Mm-hmm. You just like move them away and forget about them? Or what is it that you have to be able to put them in place to maybe 2-3 months later, they can revisit with you and see if maybe they can get the pre-approval.
Yeah, not everybody's ready right away. Most people aren't. So it's a plan to success. It's a plan that we're able to help you to get you ready for your goals. So if it's not now, maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's even a year or 2 years down the line. If you haven't done your taxes and we need 2 years, it'll be 2 years from now. So it's if you're not ready now, it's okay. We'll make sure we help you get ready.
Okay. So what is that conversation like with somebody that didn't get a pre-approved whenever they get to talk to you? Do you call them? Did they tell you they're not going to make it? Do they call you and say, we just weren't able to be there yet? So how's that conversation like sometimes?
Everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. It just means that right now is not just the right time yet, but it will be soon. So let's just make sure we get everything in order. That way, when we have everything in order, you will be able to, we'll be able to start searching for your home.
So even though they're not immediately something that you're going to put them in a home, do you have and dedicate time for people of like that maybe they are not ready that you can revisit either maybe once a week, once a month to see how they're doing and where they're at?
Yes, I do. And I that's where we work hand in hand with the lender, because if it's due to credit or due to debts, we overlook that. And I check in with them monthly to make sure how's it going? Are you on time with everything?
Yeah.
And that we reflect on everything to make sure we are on track. Okay. That way, once we are, we're ready to go.
That's awesome. And before we started recording, you talked about whenever you get other people, you're getting some out-of-state people, investing.
Yes.
But I like the way your approach as far as like the homes that you're showing. Most of the things is via phone, but you put yourself in. If you was to buy that home, mm-hmm. would somebody else buy that home? Where did that come from? Why do you want to feel that way? Of course, it's only obvious, right? But where did that come from? Why the idea of just starting to do that to make sure that whenever the investor gets the house, whoever gets the house, they're going to be happy with what they got?
I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like we're all the same. We're all the same.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look out for you as much as if it were to be myself. If would I live here? Would this be something I would be comfortable with? So I get asked as well, is this, do you like this? And I will say, hey, at the end of the day, it's their decision on what they want to invest in.
Yeah.
But if they're asking me a personal question, I will say yes or hey, maybe I checked this out. You like the other one as well.
Yeah.
You know, so let's look at that one again. And I just put myself in their shoes because I do feel like it's important to care for them more than ourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that selfless service. A lot of the military, you have that selfless service, which is cool. A lot of the things you have you would have been great in the military if you was to join. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. But the integrity and selfless service, things of those natures, there are some of the core basic things that you have to do in the military. So, okay. So tell me the biggest lesson that you took away from one of the toughest closings, the toughest purchase, the toughest client that you had. How was it that you were able to handle? First of all, seemed like you do very well as far as somebody that's outraged, angry for whatever reason. You know, things happen within closings, mm-hmm. within whatever. But sometimes it's not your fault. But you can't really, they don't see it that way. They see it because you're the one that they've been talking to that not all the way your fault, but it's kind of your fault, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the toughest client for that reason, and how is it, what did you learn, and how did you go about it to make sure either they got taken care of or unfortunately was something that they weren't able to do at that time?
So, you know, most of my deals, thankfully, they've all just been, once we get ready and we are at the closing table, everything's gone perfectly smoothly. I had one that wasn't able to close on time, and my client was going to go out of town that same night after closing. And we weren't able to close. And he was like, I'm so sorry, Melissa. Because the closing was at like 1 p.m. and we're still outside. Like, we're still trying to close and it's 5 o'clock and we're not signing. And it was due to like one loan condition, right? That ended up coming up. So, I mean, that can happen. The loan condition came up and it was something that they were just going back and forth, trying to find a solution. But that's where I'm like, you know what? This is patience. I mean, patience kicks in and I'm like, I have nowhere. Like, my client is here. That's my priority. My priority is to make sure that we close, right? That he closes on his property. And I'm here to support him as well, emotionally as well, because he started to get frustrated and felt very, I mean, not dissatisfied, but he felt very, I feel like he was almost embarrassed because they were trying to find a good term between him and the loan. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm wasting your time. And I'm like, this is not a waste of time. It's just a process. Mm-hmm. It's just a process. So every problem has a solution. I'm a big believer on that. And I'm not going to get angry at people. If there's a problem, we got to find a solution.
Where does that mentality come from you? Because not everybody has the patience, that understanding of everything has a solution. Some people just get blocked out and it is what it is and move on.
That mentality comes from not conforming to the world and actually wanting to be the one to lead instead of just being a victim. Honestly, I'm a big believer in we can victimize ourselves or we can lead ourselves. We are our biggest fan or our biggest critic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So you have to do an amendment to the contract because you didn't close on time. Get that done. And then finally, when he came back from his trip, were you able to close finally?
We closed the next day, but he was actually out of state at that point. So we got a mobile notary out of state and everything worked well. Everything really, like, I ended up getting to spend more time with my client. Yeah. So
how was he after that? Was he happy?
Very happy.
Yeah.
We're very happy. I spoke with him just the other day. He's ready to buy another property.
That's cool. So do you keep up often with a lot of your clients after you're close?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I, that's really important to me because I'm not here just for a transaction. I'm here for a lifelong relationship to be able to one day your children buy a house. I would love to be able to be a part of that as well, since I got to help them have their own bedroom at one point, you know, and then one day they're going to have their own house.
You're right. Kind of like when they find their home, you get a little eye shine, whatever you think about that process, if it was to get to that point and you're able to put their kids into a home.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Okay. So as far as real estate for you, what's like the biggest lesson for you as far as just doing it? You know, I know it's rewarding because you get to go and see the emotions, the feeling of having something accomplished for them, for the client. But what else have you learned within doing mortgage or doing real estate as far as you that you have learned? I know there's patience. I know there, but what else?
Patience and communication. I feel like communication's one of the biggest key factors in working in real estate. Under communicating will definitely set you behind.
Yeah.
So over communicating is better. And being truthful, honest, loyal, just being an all well-round, honest individual and being able to not only do it in real estate, but also outside of real estate to carry that in business and outside of business.
That's pretty cool. All righty. So you tried out for a notary. It just didn't work out for you. You gave it a go and it's just not your thing.
I have a lot of passions and I wanted to dedicate my other time to other activities.
That wasn't one of the things that made you passionate about. However, I found videos of you singing.
Yes.
When did you start singing? When did you begin to know that you could sing? And I know that you dove a little bit in it. You got your feet wet on it, but not all the way. How did that come about? The music thing that you do that my people might not know about it, but I know.
So it actually comes back all the way to when I was about 4 years old. And I my grandma would put me to sleep and she would sing me a lullaby and she would tell me, Meli, ya duérmete, because I would sing with her. Yeah. I would like, no, I want to sing with you. I want to. And she gets, duérmete ya, y te tienes que dormir. You have to go to sleep. And I just wanted to keep singing with her.
Yeah.
So I was just singing. My parents bought me like a little guitar. And
so can you play?
I played somewhat. I got some basics down, guitar, piano.
That's cool.
And when I was 9 years old, I auditioned for a competition, a singing competition. I did not win.
What was the name of it?
It was for a company called Gano Excel, a multi-level company. And my family was a part of. And I didn't win. But I mean, I was 9 years old. I put myself out there. I sang El Rancho Grande.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that one?
Allá en el Rancho Grande. I can't sing like you, but yes, only.
I sang that song. And I remember I actually forgot the words. So I just sang it over and over.
Just the same words. Just the same words.
It's, I mean...
You were nine and you got nervous.
I was nine and I put myself out there. Mm. And that's all that I care about because I pushed myself and I faced my fear. It was 500 people there.
Were you shy prior to that? Somebody didn't like to do that? Put themselves... Public speaking is one of the biggest fears of people. Correct. Some people even, I don't know if it's true or not, but some people rather just die than public speak and get in front of people and say something.
Yeah.
So to be able to get in front for your first time, in front of course, I'm sure you've done it in front of family, but 500 people.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
How did that feel?
There's something in my mindset that's like, I'm scared or I'm like, I'm nervous to do this, but that makes me want to do it.
Yeah.
That makes me want to do it. Like, I'm just like, I don't want my own thoughts to limit myself. So if I have a desire to do something, but I'm just scared, I'm not going to have fear. Like I may be nervous, but that fear, it's only going to stay there and continue to be there if I don't do anything about it. So I do things that help me face my fears.
Yeah. When was the last time you did something that's scary to you that you still did it?
The last thing I did, well, changing brokerages was, I mean, a big decision because it's my first career and making a big change. But I know it's looking out for myself is the most important thing. I need to put myself, what's going to be good for me, myself, my family, my clients. Biggest fear, I don't know. I started singing again in front of my real estate peers. So nice. I sang the national anthem at the last event where we had around 250 people. So I'm getting back out there again. I'm doing my singing. Yeah, that's.
Okay, so you were 9 years old was the first time, but then you kept doing it a little bit more over and over. You got to do more stuff, your other competitions that you got to. What other one was it that you did?
I auditioned for La Banda, American Idol, and I also auditioned for The X Factor. I've just done so many.
Were in it.
That was the only way I could live is if I would sing, like.
But there was a little bit of a distaste as far as the music industry goes, because you're, like you said earlier, as far as finding a solution and not being confined to a box, you just didn't like that they wanted to shape you a certain way for you.
I acknowledge the fact that, and it took me time to acknowledge that the industry, the music industry, people want what they want. They want to hear and see what they believe is going to be the next hit or the most attractive or the most appealing for the eye, the ear. And to me, music was a way to express, to connect, and to be able to relate with others and through emotion, through my voice and through the stories, the storytelling that I sing through. So that to me wasn't my goal. It wasn't to have fame. It was more to just connect with people through my voice and through my singing and through my story.
Yeah. So that kind of deterred you a little bit. When did you completely stop? Like, you used to be even choir. You did choir and everything, but when did you come, like, put a pause on that? Yes. Was that when you started real estate?
Yes.
When
I started real estate. So that's why, like, I'm telling you now, it's like singing again in front of my real estate peers. Like, no one knew I sang. Like even my broker, everyone comes up to me. They're like, "That was you? That was you? Oh my gosh! We didn't know we knew a singer in our lives." Like, and And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm like, it's been behind the scenes, and
I do it sometimes, you know, just nothing, just
I sing something for fun, so
just a little something.
Yeah, and like back in the day, like it was something that I did as like a job as well, like singing for quinceañeras, birthdays with bands, and it was small gigs.
But you got paid though.
I got paid.
Yeah,
but it just, you know, wasn't. And at the same time, obviously, not everything in life is what we want to do, right? But I know that willingly I'll be able to one day sing or maybe share some of my own songs.
Okay, so that is in the back burner. Maybe not the back burner. It's getting more closer to the front burner as far as thinking of doing something. Of course, you know, you're doing your thing. Money's coming in.
Yeah.
You have the money now to be able to play a little bit more. So a project might be in the works.
It is in the works. Yeah.
Ah, exclusive, baby. Okay, so what kind of project do you have? What kind of music genre are you going into? And have you been recording songs already?
So I am going to keep that more for off the record.
Okay.
But for genre, it will be more like soft pop, pop rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have recorded some songs.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's all I want. I don't want everything. I don't want no title, anything. Just, I didn't even know you were going to tell me about that part, but it's pretty cool.
Just a little inside scoop. Yeah.
I've done a little bit of music thing. I don't sing, but mostly like the rapping and things like that. So, and I already got paid for, not a lot, but I got paid for some of the streaming stuff that I did. So awesome. I was like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
Now I can retire from musician. I'm just kidding. But I did it. And I don't know if maybe that's something that you were like, man, I was singing. I liked it, but maybe I don't have nothing to show for it. Maybe I want to do this. Is that kind of sort of drove you to want to do it? Or you just still have the passion for the music? It's just real estate took over for right now, but you still have it in there.
Yeah. I mean, to establish myself, I want to put my feet on a strong career and get to know the world. I travel a lot now that I'm in real estate. Now that I'm able to have more liberty and be my own boss, I'm able to dedicate time to be able to do things I love. So I do still sing, but I just don't do it for the money, the gigs anymore. I work in real estate for that. And I sing for passion.
You sing for a passion. And you want something concrete that you made a project for you to show, hey, I did it.
I built it.
Yeah.
I built that.
You did that. That's pretty cool. I like that. Good luck with that. I hope that when you're ready to put it out, if I don't know if you're going to do a big release or everything, you're going to all the way out. But if you do, please let us know. We'll be more happy to support whatever we can.
Definitely will.
All righty. So thank you very much. We're running short on time. Thank you for sharing everything that you told us so far as real estate. If anybody was to try to contact you, they're looking for a home, they're looking for a rental, they're looking for investment properties, what is your social media? We'll put maybe not your telephone number because people are strange, but maybe just your social media.
Yes, contact. My social media on Instagram and TikTok, it is @RealWithMel. And my Facebook is Melissa Ornelas.
Yeah.
And I would love to help your family, your friends to be able to come move over here to the DFW area or suburbs and just be able to take care of them like they're my own family.
Awesome. And do you have any events that you have coming up? Anything like that you're doing either yourself or with anybody else?
Yes, I do have an event coming up on June 20th. It is going to be an educational event.
Nice.
And everyone's invited to come get to know more about the loans, the process of different types of loans we have, about how you can buy property outside of the U.S. And also maybe there will be some singing.
Maybe there's going to be some singing. I can almost guarantee
June 20th. So get onto my social media and you'll get some more information.
Do you have a flyer already out?
Not yet.
Okay. June 20th. Mark the date. Put it on your calendar. Seal it. Make a calendar for yourself to remind you. Yes. Shout outs. Any shout outs that you have for anybody? Yes.
Shout out to NAREF Dallas. Thank y'all for supporting me. And I'm so excited to be a part of the board of directors for this year. Thank you to Latin Factor for inviting me today. Thank you to all my clients who gave me the opportunity to be able to establish myself to be here today. I love y'all.
Yeah. Before we ended the real estate part, you actually have some awards that you have won before.
Oh, yes.
Not only that, but even in high school, you were president, vice president of the student council?
No, for my entire choir class.
For your entire choir class, you were president and vice president?
Yeah, I was president at one school, vice president at the other school growing up, yeah.
And not only that, even you could continue the awards in the real estate. So you won a few awards recently.
Yes, I won the Executive Club Awards through REMAX.
Okay.
2 years in a row.
2 years in a row.
Yes.
Yeah, and what is the requirements for you to be able to get that? What do you have to have? What are the goals, the money, whatever it is that you... they have?
Yeah, so it's, I mean, that ranges from 50 to 100K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got it back to back.
Yeah.
Back to back. Look at you. Okay. What is, I think we talked a little bit about it, but let's just go and revisit. Maybe there's something else. What is an important lesson that you learned doing real estate that you would tell your younger self that will help somebody else out? What would that be?
In real estate?
Yes, in real estate.
Don't let them push you around and really listen to their needs. Listen. That's the most important thing. Note down everything. That way you don't forget if you're forgetful, which a lot of us are if we don't write it down. So listen. And if you really put your passion, your heart into it, nothing can go wrong. And if it doesn't go right, it onto the next. Don't stress about the past. Just focus on the next and on the future and on growing yourself and on uplifting others.
Awesome. Like it a lot. This was a little deeper. It is usually throughout the day when I wake up or sometime during my day, I say something along the lines of not immortal. I am mortal and I will die one day. I know you're fairly young, but still, it's just something that happens in real life, right? It's going to happen. But it makes me want to hurry up, do stuff, and keeps me productive and doing things, knowing that that's a reality in life, right? With that, I wish you a long, prosperous life. However, when everything's said and done, what do you want people to think and feel about your life?
About my life?
Mm-hmm.
That I was always just trying to be optimistic and helping my family and helping everyone around me with good intentions, always.
Yeah. And I think, yeah. Shout out to your dad, by the way. Didn't say that to your dad.
Oh, shout out to my dad. Shout out to dad, mom, grandma, sister. Everyone I love, you know who you are.
Don't get me in trouble. I'm telling you, when I started the podcast 3 years ago, I used to DM a bunch of people and try to find guests. I tapped into the people that I already knew, try to make something happen, and you know a lot of them came through. But sometimes guests were scarce. Sometimes it was hard to find a guest, and then sometimes they'll cancel. It takes time to an investment to get an episode out, right? Mm-hmm. They don't get it, you know. Some people, it is what it is, and I can't blame them for it, right? But a lot of the time, to start realizing, you know what, the people who are meant to be here will be here.
Absolutely.
This is our second try to book this, but it was a year ago when your dad let me know about you, and I didn't realize how much. When he told me, I knew you were, of course, you're his daughter, right? But I didn't realize what he was telling me of the person you are, like how amazing your story is and how amazing as being so young, the things you're already accomplishing and are doing, you know, and then you can exercise in not only in the singing, but just overall, even in high school, to striving to be more, not just a regular student. The mental part of you wanting to be more and more and, you know, with good intentions, not stepping on everybody, but still caring for other people as you're moving along, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think that's amazing, though. So shout out to, remind me his name again, because I know
Ricardo.
Saludos, Ricardo. Le di mi palabra que íbamos a atender a su hija aquí un día de estos, y aquí estamos casi un año después. Disculpe la tardanza, sabe que soy mexicano también de Morelos, así es que a veces llegamos un poquito tarde, pero llegamos. So sí. Even though it was a year later, I gave him a word that we'll make it happen. So here we are, and we did it. So without a doubt, with everything you're doing, I know you're fairly young and I know you continue to work and I know you continue to excel. I have no doubt wherever you're at, you're going to continue to go forward because of the things that you have, because you care for others, and because now you know that you're not going to be pushed around. Without a doubt, Melissa, you are a global Latin factor. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
This was another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. Remember to subscribe right now. Remember to subscribe to the channel so you can see more interviews, more content. We have amazing episodes in Spanish, English. We have exchanging cultures. We have all kinds of amazing, beautiful stories. More to come, by the way. Shout out to WSB for allowing us the space to record
this beautiful office, and the amazing people that we have here. So subscribe to the channel. We'll see you until next time. Bye.
Thank you very much for checking out this episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast. Make sure you go and subscribe to the channel. Check out the content and the episodes that we have ready for you. Thank you very much. Till next time.
Pero but in fact it's a flamingo coming to Havana and drink from Puerto Rico.
Can you see I'm calling a guy like you should wear a warning? It's dangerous and I'm falling. There's no escape, I can't wait. I need a hit, baby. Get me in, dangerous, I'm loving it. Too high, can't calm down, losing my head, it's been around and round. Do you feel me now? Taste my lips, I'm on a run. Toxic, I'm sipping on with the taste of your poison. Paradise, I'm addicted to you. Don't you know that you're toxic? Man, I love what you do, and don't you?